Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
Please turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll be in verses 10 through 12 this morning as we continue our study through the book of 1 Peter. And Peter has started out by talking about our identity in Christ and how we're chosen sojourners. And he recounted all of how God saved us, how he caused our new birth. And he talked about how he saved us, but also about our living hope, our inheritance, and our future salvation. And so he talks about the past. He talks about the future. And then he also talks about how all of this impacts our present, right? We rejoice now, even though we face trials and we live our lives in this world. So really, Peter is pushing us to appreciate our status as a Christian and what all that means. And he just starts out by talking about blessed be God, and our passage continues that idea of appreciating our status as a Christian. And so I'm going to read verses 10 through 12, and I want you to think about how Peter is wanting us and desiring us to appreciate our status as a Christian. Verse 10, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So what a time to be alive. Have you ever thought that statement? Or maybe you've heard it. But now sometimes people use it in a humorous way, in a sarcastic way. But I'm using it this morning in a more serious way. So have you ever thought about the time that we're living? So think about all the things that we have in our time. So we have running water. We have dishwashers. Computers and cars, we have microwaves and air fryers. Just think about all the things that we have that prior generations never got to have, never got to see, never got to experience. We can instantly get in touch with someone. So back in the old days, you had to write a letter, and then it took a while for that letter to get to the person, and they write a letter, it took a while to get back to you. But now we instantly call someone up and boom, you can even FaceTime and see their face, or you can talk on the phone or text them, and you're there, you're talking to them. We can travel multiple states away in just a couple of hours. Think about you could go to bed in one state and wake, or next day you're in bed in all across the country, right? And we have that happen. But we can click a button on our phones and what happens? A package arrives in 1 to 2 days on your front doorstep. Really think about that, right? On your phone, you push a button and a package arrives. Or now we don't even have to walk the grocery store aisles, right? You pick what you want. Someone else walks the aisles for you, picks it, and puts it in your trunk, and you're off, right? That's amazing. What a time to be alive. And in our passage this morning, it's like Peter is saying to us, what a time to be alive. Yet, of course, he's not talking about our technological advances, but our blessings in Christ. Now, a question you may think about is, what time is he talking about? He's not talking about the 2020s versus the 1920s or anything like that. But rather, Peter's talking about our time in salvation history. So you think about salvation history, and so you have the Old Testament time period. So this is the time period before Christ. And then you have the New Testament time period after Christ. So after Christ came. And we, of course, live in the time after Christ came. So He came, he was born, he lived his perfect life, he died on the cross, rose again, he ascended, he sent the Spirit, he instituted the church. And this is the time period that Peter is pointing to as this time of blessing, of great blessing, as he writes these verses. And so my points for this morning will actually answer the question, why is this such a great time in salvation history? Why is it a great time to be a believer? What's so great about our time? And so first is the salvation message of Christ is good news of grace. So how would you describe the salvation message? You know, I've sat in a lot of meetings where someone is pursuing membership, and so we ask them about the salvation message. What is the salvation message? And I found that describing the salvation message is strangely difficult for some. And I believe it's partly because you're put on the spot, right? It's like you're put on the spot and you have that pressure. Now describe something, and it makes it hard, right? This happens in some other areas of our lives. I think having kids, and they'll ask you a lot of questions. And so some questions are, what does that word mean? And do you ever find this for yourself, is you know exactly what that word means in your head, don't you? But to explain it to a child, you're like struggling, right? It's like, how do I explain that word? But it's like, I know it in my head. And that's probably what happens for many who are going to describe the salvation message. Now, certainly we should all practice this and learn more and explain it better, but our passage actually helps us. Because it uses some terms and some ideas to help us understand the salvation message, and he uses it in various ways. And so there are many other phrases and words that Peter could have used, but let's focus on what does he use to describe our salvation. And so, of course, he talks out about talking about our salvation, concerning this salvation. And so we all know, I think, what salvation means. It means deliverance from something. And so he's talking about we will eventually be delivered. And so that concerning this salvation gives us a hint that this is what this passage is about, right? Concerning this salvation. This is what this passage is all about. But what's our salvation from? It is salvation from sin, death, condemnation. We have all sinned, and the scripture says that the wages of sin is death. And so what that means is our sin deserves punishment because we sinned against the holy God. And so Christ, by Christ taking our sin upon himself, he's taking our punishment. He actually became our substitute. He took what we deserved. And so that means by his death we're forgiven our sin because Christ paid for our sins. And so Christ took our sin, and then his perfect righteousness was credited to our account. And so what that means is that we are no longer condemned because we're justified in the sight of God. And so what all this means is that we are saved from the wrath of God against sin because Jesus took it. Yet the only way to receive this salvation is through faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross in our place. And so this is the much-needed salvation, our deliverance from sin, death, condemnation. But not only does Peter describe the salvation message by simply calling it salvation, but he also talks about salvation message as grace. He says, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours. So he talks about grace and he uses it interchangeably with salvation. And so if you think about it, whenever you speak about salvation, you cannot leave out grace. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. Grace is this love and kindness that you show to someone who doesn't deserve it. So we're sinners who were dead in our sins. We're enemies of God, and yet he sent Christ to save us from our sins. And so what else is that but grace, right? We didn't deserve that. So we receive grace by being saved, but also grace with the myriad of blessings that come with salvation. In the prior verses, Peter explains some of those gracious blessings of living hope, inheritance, future salvation, etc. That is the grace that is ours. Are you always humbled and thankful for the grace of God in salvation? And that's how Peter describes it. It is grace that is to be yours. How else does he describe our salvation? He explains that the prophets predicted the sufferings of Christ, the glories to follow. And so it reminds us, and the way he's describing it shows us that salvation is all about Christ's work. Right? So you can't remove Christ's work from the picture, or else there is no salvation at all. There are some who want to get away from Christ's death and just preach that Christ was loving. And of course, he's loving. But where was his love most demonstrated? The cross. Right? Because of suffering and death and resurrection made our salvation possible. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And so his death and resurrection is our only hope for being saved. And so we never take it for granted. But we cherish it. We live in light of it. We proclaim it to others. And another way he describes the salvation message, if maybe you noticed it, but he calls it good news. He talks about how there's those who preached, who announced to you through those who preached the good news to you. So whenever you hear the word term gospel, it means good news. That is the gospel. It is good news. And so the whole salvation message could be encapsulated in that phrase, good news. And it's good news because sinners with no hope are saved by God himself. You see, if you think about the good news, the gospel, it actually starts out as bad news, doesn't it? The bad news is that we are sinners who can't save ourselves, bound for hell. But that good news, that bad news is transformed into good and great news because Christ, but God, right? He sent Christ and to be the way that we can be saved. And so it really turns into good news. It is foundationally good news for lost sinners. So the salvation message of Christ is good news of grace. Have you responded in faith to this good news of what Christ has done? We're told to repent, turn from our sins, turn to Christ, and we're saved. Trust his work on the cross. And you receive grace. So what's so great about our time, according to Peter? We're saved by Christ's blood. We're the recipients of grace because of Christ's work on the cross. And this is all good news, right? You see, the Old Testament believers, they were saved by believing in the Messiah to come. But they didn't get to be in our position. You see, they didn't get to look back and hear all about how the Son of God came into this world and shed his blood for them and so they can receive life. They didn't get to have the Spirit with them all times as helper. They didn't get all the new covenant blessings. Let's be thankful. Thankful for the salvation message that we have heard and have believed, in which we receive grace upon grace, the grace that came to us. So why else is our time great according to Peter? Because the Spirit spoke through men to give this message to us. You see, the Holy Spirit uses imperfect men to share the message to others. And this is the pattern that God has used throughout history to give his message to people. He uses the Spirit to speak through people. And it shows love. It shows the love of God that he would determine to speak to us. throughout these verses, we see Peter describe how we have heard the gospel. So he first talks about the Old Testament prophets. And so they prophesied that the Messiah, that Christ would suffer, but also be glorified, be exalted, the glories to follow. And if you look throughout the Old Testament, you see prophecies about Christ all over the place. You think about Isaiah. He was definitely one of those who prophesied about the sufferings of Christ, wasn't he? Think about Isaiah 53, where he talks about how Christ will be despised and rejected by men. He will be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. By his wounds we are healed. This is the type of thing that Peter's talking about. They prophesied about Christ and his sufferings. And so we are actually served by the Old Testament prophets who predicted so many things about the coming Messiah. And so Peter even says that it was disclosed to them that they weren't serving themselves, but us. You see, their prophecies, they were a future time, our time. So it wasn't, now they were helped by those prophecies in those times, and they looked forward to those prophecies, but they would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So we were served by them. That's a blessing. God used the Spirit of Christ to speak through them and serve us by the many promises that would be fulfilled in Jesus. It's amazing now that we know all about Christ, and when you read the Old Testament, it really comes to life, right? Especially these prophecies. You're like, man, Christ perfectly fulfilled that in his coming. And so with Christ in mind, we see indications of him everywhere. Even in people like Moses, man, Jesus was a better Moses. Jesus was a better Joshua. Jesus was a better David, etc. And so we see all these things come out. And the reason is they were speaking about Christ. They were prophesying about Christ. We were served by the Old Testament prophets by seeing their prophecies fulfilled perfectly in Jesus. And this is love of God for to do this for us. This is grace. Before we were even born, so think about it this way. Before we were even born, God was using people who lived thousands of years earlier to serve us. The Old Testament prophets serving us by giving these prophecies. And it helps you remember, this is a blessed time to live in of salvation history after Christ. But of course, not only the Old Testament prophets, but we heard the message by the apostles who preached the good news. So the Old Testament prophets, they prophesied of Christ. And then after Christ came and did his work, what happens? The apostles announced that what was promised was fulfilled in Jesus. You think about Peter's sermon in Acts 2 at Pentecost. He does this exact thing. Look at all these promises. Jesus fulfilled them. Repent and believe. That's his sermon. And so what you see here is that Peter is showing us the salvation message is actually one unified message. Both the Old and New Testament are equal standing. They are the Word of God. The Old Testament pointed forward to Christ. The New Testament declared he came. Right? He came. And he did this. And so we can never separate the Old and New Testament. They are both very important to the good news of great grace. You know, there are some who say we should unhinge from the Old Testament, but that's far from the truth. You see, just look in the New Testament and look how often they refer back and quote the Old Testament. You see exactly why we shouldn't unhinge from the Old Testament. But also, they saw the importance of how Jesus was the fulfillment of these things. So they promised, they declared, he was promised, he came, he fulfilled, now repent and believe. And so that was their message. That's the gospel. So there's this one unified message, but also Peter shows us that there's one Spirit who is used both in the Old and New Testament. Notice how we are told the Spirit of Christ predicted the sufferings and glory of Christ. This is simply another way to talk about the Spirit. But in this, we see the Spirit's role in giving Scripture, don't we? The prophets didn't make up these prophecies off the top of their head. But the Spirit spoke through them to predict the sufferings of Christ, the person and work of Christ. We're told, even in here, that they had more questions about their prophecies. What does that show you? They didn't make this up. It came from God, and they're thinking, wait, I want to know more. Right? This shows it came from God himself, from the Spirit, speaking telling them exactly when they speak what to say. And so what all this means is that when we read the Old Testament, we are reading God's very word to us. And what do you see then when Peter talks about those who preach the good news to you? How do they preach? By the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Once again, you see the Spirit speaking through men who are proclaiming the gospel, so that when they proclaim the gospel, it is actually God speaking to people. When they announced the good news, it was by means of and in power of the Spirit. And so it reminds us the message we have in God's word can be trusted all the way through because the Spirit spoke through men. And so we as believers after Christ are in such a privileged position because we have read all about the prophecies of Christ in the Old Testament. We have now read how Christ fulfilled those prophecies from the apostles who wrote the New Testament. We have all that God wanted us to know in His Word in front of us. Do you realize the privilege of that reality? Think about the generations of people who never had God's complete word in their hands. Think about all the people throughout history that didn't have that privilege. And yet, we let our Bible sit on a shelf all week long, collecting dust. Do you realize the privilege you have? Let's read it even more, knowing how privileged we are to have God's written word in our hands. Think about it this way, too. Even most of us, if we somehow go somewhere and we forget our physical Bible, what can you do? Pull it up on your phone. We have our Bible everywhere we go. And yet, how little we read it. So think about the privilege that we have. So what we find in Scripture isn't some made-up story. Scripture is not self-help information. Scripture is not advice. It is not a collection of helpful suggestions. It is God's very word to us. It is truth. It tells us what is real. It tells us what is true. It tells us what matters in life. It has the power to change hearts. It has the power to convict sinners. It has the power to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Do you remember this? Do you take advantage of the fact that you have the complete Word of God in your Bible? What a time to be alive. The Spirit spoke through men to give this message to us. We were served by the Old Testament prophets as they predicted Christ's coming. The apostles announced his arrival, his work. One unified message, right? One unified message, one Spirit who carried along the writers who wrote it. So the third reason, though, that our time is great is because the prophets and angels long to see what we have experienced. The prophets and angels long to see what we have experienced. If you look at my points for this morning, what you notice is actually three hows. How the good news is described, how we learned of this good news, and now how the prophets and angels reacted to it. So let's say that God told you that there would be a revival in America someday, in the future. So this, of course, would get you excited, right? So you would want to learn more. You'd want to know more. Like, when is this revival going to happen? Like, is it 20 years from now? 20, 100, or 20, 50, 100? More? Like, when is this going to happen? You'd want to know, under what circumstances is this revival going to happen? Who will be some of the prominent individuals involved? You'd want to know more in your excitement. Well, that's sort of what it was like for the Old Testament prophets, yet even greater than a revival, because this was the central moment in salvation history of Christ's work of salvation. And so we see the prophets wanted to learn more about their own prophecies. We're told that they searched and inquired carefully, in inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicated. So those words, search and inquire carefully, they emphasize this diligent search, this careful investigation. What were they searching and investigating? Probably clues in their own prophecies. Probably previous prophecies from God. Essentially, think about this. They were searching the Scripture for answers. And it made me think, could that be said of our mindset when it comes to God's Word? Do we diligently search, carefully investigate what God says? Are you a student of the Bible? So maybe when it comes to a passage that you don't quite understand, you just kind of like move on? Or do you like really, like, I want to know what this says? Are you a student of the Word of God? I was thinking, let's be more like Sherlock Holmes when it comes to our Bibles. Like, we want to investigate. We want to search. We want to diligently search and investigate God's Word. What does it say? They received these predictions, the prophets, and they searched for what? They wanted to know who, what, and when. They wanted to know who the Messiah would be, when he would come, what circumstances it would be. Basically, think about this. They wanted to know all the details, right? It's like, tell me the details. I want to know. So understand what's being said here. The prophets, they receive, through their prophecies, some broad details about the coming Christ. And they were like, this is so good that I want to know everything. I want to know who, what, when, how. I want to know everything. This is so good. And they barely knew much, right? Only through their prophecies, only through previous prophecies by others. They were enthralled with this message that they only had a few glimpses about. And yet we take the gospel message we have for granted. Why do we do that? Why do we take what we know for granted? Why do we take the time period that we live in for granted? We think, oh yeah, I believe that good news gospel stuff when I got saved, and then we kind of move on like we never need it anymore. Is that how the New Testament apostles thought? No, what did we just learn with Peter? He was so captivated by the gospel that he recounts it and says, blessed be God for what he did. Look, all this stuff that he did. We should be continually humbled by what Christ has done, continually enthralled by this grand redemptive plan that God has done in the world, that God has done in our lives, accomplished in Jesus. We should be so captivated by this message that we want to share it with others who don't know it. It makes you think, if these godly men in the Old Testament were so excited about what little they knew, how much more excited should we be with the gospel that we know all about? Jesus even talks about this in Matthew 13. He talks about how, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not hear it, see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. When we think about our time in salvation history, so after Christ came, Peter writes in such a way as to make it impossible to be bored with, impossible to take it for granted. There's some people who think, oh, I wish I was in the Old Testament times. I could see God do these miracles and hear God audibly speak. But according to our passage, Peter won't let us long for older days or take our time period for granted, for he shows us the greatness of our time of salvation history. The Old Testament prophets desire to know what you know. Think about that. They desired to know what we know in our day. We know so much more than even the Old Testament prophets knew. And yet we take it for granted. But also, they're not the only ones. But even, Peter says, the angels long to look into these things. It was interesting looking at the Greek words for these things. And the word long here, it actually means to crave something, strongly desire something. So it can be used in a positive or negative way. So the negative way would be lusting. But the positive way is I strongly desire something. And here the angels strongly desire this. The phrase to look points to someone who's stooping down to see something. Think about if you remember Peter and John at the tomb and they stoop down to look in into the tomb. It's this idea of taking effort to see something. I want to take effort to see it. And so we put this together and it means that the angels strongly desire to watch God work in the world by saving sinners. You see, the angels are not all-knowing, right? They're not. They're kept from fully knowing the mystery of every little detail of what God is doing. Even we're told in Scripture that the church shows off the manifold wisdom to powers and authorities, which are angels. And so they're kept from knowing every little detail, and they're so interested in watching God's unfolding plan happen in the world. You see, angels aren't redeemed like us who are sinners and human. They're outsiders to the redemptive plan. And they strongly desire to see and watch more. The angels are like spectators watching God's plan unfold. And they're saying, would you come look at this? Come look at this. This is amazing. Think about it. Angels marvel at what God is doing in our lives. They long to see more. They crave to see more. They take effort. I want to see more of this. Of God's wisdom and greatness and plan. It is so amazing and stunning and great and marvelous that even angels who continually serve God are amazed and they desire to keep looking into these things. And if angels long to look into these things, how much more we who were actually saved by the gospel should we be amazed and stunned at the gospel that saved us and is continuing to work in us? Peter is showing us, let's be amazed by the greatness of our salvation. Let's be amazed by it. The prophets long to learn more. The angels long to see more. They long to look. It makes you think about what a great time to be alive after Christ. We're living a great time in salvation history. Christ was promised and he came. And just that fact is amazing. The Messiah was promised and he came. We have read about the foundational prophecies that pointed to him in the Old Testament. We read all about his coming, his words, his perfect life. We heard about his death and resurrection in the Scriptures for sinners. And now, because we believed in him, we are forgiven. We are given new life. We have a living hope, an inheritance guarded for us in heaven. We're guarded for heaven to be for a future salvation. And it makes you think, what else, knowing all of this, can we do but rejoice with joy inexpressible and filled with glory? We are blessed beyond all measure in Christ. And we have so many blessings that come along with being a believer after Christ's first coming. The prophets desire to know what we know. The angels long to watch it unfold. And so the time that we're living after Christ is far from boring, far from terrible, but it's amazing because of our glorious Christ. And it's all centered on Christ and what he did. We're privileged to know and experience what we have. We should always be amazed by it. Always be amazed with our salvation. We never take it for granted. So let me ask you, how do you view the good news of Jesus Christ? Do you ever take it for granted? Or are you continually amazed by it? Like, how could God save a person like me? I'm amazed by it. And he's doing it all across the world with all different types of people from every nation and tribe and tongue. And so since this is so amazing and grace and great, then let's live differently. Let's not take it for granted anymore, but learn more about it. Be excited about the details. The Old Testament prophets even want to know the details. Let's not be bored with it, but take advantage of all the knowledge we have. And so let's revere, appreciate, admire, and adore our great God who accomplished a great salvation in our great Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so reminded this morning as Peter talks about this great time in salvation history that we are, a time where we can see that Jesus was promised and he came. We can see all that he did, and we can simply repent and believe, and we are saved and given an inheritance in heaven, a living hope, a hope that we can cling to. Help us always to be amazed by this fact, by this truth, and see how you worked your plan to unfold it even up to this point, and how you are in control and you're unfolding it even in the future. We thank you for this, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.